Today we give thanks for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And there is a lot to be thankful for, not least her personal clear commitment to the Lord Jesus, which has been referenced a number of times already in our service together. She wasn't a cultural Christian. Her belief, her faith was authentic. I, like you, I'm sure, have heard many stories, especially in the last week since her death. It's wonderful to be given a sort of a window into the life behind all the pomp and ceremony. A couple of stories that I've heard. Her Majesty was apparently out walking in Scotland, something that she did quite regularly with her protection officer, and a passerby said something along the lines of, "Oh, you look just like the Queen." To which she replied, "How reassuring." There was another incident some years before where after she'd been crowned as Queen, she got into an argument with her mother. Those things still happened. And the conversation went something like this. The Queen Mother said to Elizabeth, "Who do you think you are?" There was a pause. "The Queen, Mummy, the Queen." Well, on Thursday the 8th of September, this year, our Queen died. She lived through the Second World War. Her reign began during the time when Winston Churchill was Prime Minister, and it continued for a further 14 Prime Ministers. She oversaw the change of the British Empire to the Commonwealth, as we know it today. Beatlemania came and went. The European Union came and sort of went. She remained wonderfully predictable, a figurehead, a character role model. And at the heart of it all, again, a personal Christian faith. It radiated and affected millions. Carl Truman, a writer and professor of biblical studies, he comments as follows. "Unlike most heads of state today, she was a person to whom one could point and say to one's children and grandchildren, 'When you grow up, you want to be like her.' Her reign was marked with a deep sense of the dignity of her office. She never used profane language. She never sneered at critics. A generation raised on reality TV, life as performance, confected Twitter outrage, and living loud would do well to reflect upon that." Truman concludes, "To how many other executives of the past decades can one point as good examples to follow?" But here's the thing, I'm confident that if she was sitting with us today, I think at this stage she would be frowning at me, perhaps sort of wagging her finger a little bit. Why? Well, I think there's probably been, from her perspective, far too much chatter about her already. Not long ago in St. Paul's Cathedral, stone's throw from here, there was a Thanksgiving service connected to the Jubilee, and a conversation was overheard between the Queen and the Bishop who was giving the address that day, just before the service began. As the bishop walked past, the Queen said, "Don't speak about me, speak about Jesus." I don't know what the bishop had prepared that day, but that would have focused his mind somewhat. So, I think it would be respectful to focus our attention now on Jesus Christ. I'd like to draw your attention, please, to the statement made on the inside cover down at the bottom. It's a reading from the New Testament. And I'm going to read it now. It's from 1 Timothy, and it's written by Paul. "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Who was Paul, you might well ask? Well, he was a lawyer. But as I like to say, don't let that put you off. He was a good one of the 40 authors of the Bible. And most importantly, crucially, you could argue, he was a witness to the resurrected Jesus Christ. He says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Christ, we hear it every time we talk about sort of Christian stuff, don't we? The word Christ is brought to our attention, not a name, but as designated title, an office, and it means king. I guess we'll be familiar that it is a common term within the New Testament and within Christian language, But it is easy for the significance to somewhat pass us by. I mean, imagine if you've been brought in here today, perhaps by a colleague or wandered in and there'd been a greeting and thought there might be time to introduce you to a few others before we got going. I'd like you to meet Robert and Jackie, and this is King John. You'd remember that, wouldn't you? It would be notable. Here is a title to take note of. That's the point that's being made here. The king that came into the world. You'll see the first point on the handout. And you can see that that first point is lifted straight from the biblical text. Christ Jesus, King Jesus, came into the world. Elizabeth was crowned queen at the age of 27, but Jesus was significantly already a king when he entered the world. You see, when Jesus was born, this title, king, it was already part of his identity. He was born king because he was already king. He simply changed locations. He had been in heaven, and then he came to earth. This, of course, makes Jesus a king like no other monarch that has ever existed in this world. And his life and teaching clearly reflected this kingly identity. His life stands out as remarkable, however you look at it. One commentator puts it very succinctly. The names of past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of past scientists, philosophers, theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man, Jesus, multiplies more and more. His enemies could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. Look down at the bottom of the inside cover on the right there. You'll see another statement written by Paul. Look how he sums up Jesus. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. I mean, what a way to describe Jesus. It's no wonder that our moniker has always been structured with reference to King Jesus. It's part of our very constitution. On the 2nd of June 1953, Queen Elizabeth was crowned by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Listen to some of these references. They're quite incredible when you consider the statements I've just made about Jesus. Various priceless items were laid on her, as they will be on Charles soon, as the crown was laid on her head. I give thee, O sovereign lady, this crown to wear until he who reserves the right to wear it shall return. And you know, there's that rather sort of strange, incredibly ornate ball covered in jewels, sort of cross on top. And that's placed, called the orb. It's placed in her right hand. And the archbishop says, I give thee this orb set under the cross and remember that the whole world is subject to the power and empire of Christ. Why say that? Because Christ Jesus came into the world. Today, consider the king that our queen served. So King Jesus, he came into the world. Well, consider secondly what he found when he arrived. And again, comes straight out of our core text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This word sinner, it's not a metaphor. It's a description about us, humanity. The Queen put it very well. I've put a quote from one of her Christmas speeches there. This is from 2011. Look at the first bit of that. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, says the Queen, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or from our greed. The problem identified goes right to the very heart of who we are. The Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn puts it like this. The line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes or political parties, but right through every human heart. Our hearts do not naturally choose God. We live naturally without reference to our true king, our crowns, if you like, firmly fixed on our own heads. We are the people the king found. People like me, people like you. And from God's perspective, that's as serious as it gets, which leads us to the third point. You see, this is the king that came to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look again, if you don't mind, for the last time at the Queen's speech, the second half there. I only read the first sentence, the second sentence. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. God sent a savior because we are unable to save ourselves. He didn't come to help us save ourselves. He didn't come to convince us to save ourselves, but to save us. Religion is about what you need to do to get to God. Religion will never get you anywhere. Christianity, what Jesus did for you. Jesus saves. His remarkable life was followed by an extraordinary death, a death he didn't deserve. When he was nailed to the cross, he died the death that I deserve. He took the judgment that I deserved. And his resurrection, proof positive, the mission to save worked. He rose. Sin dealt with. Our national anthem, think about how many times our national anthem has been sung over the years. God save our gracious Queen. A prayer for King Jesus to save her. She was saved, be under no doubt. She is now safe with the king that she served. Carl Truman on Queen Elizabeth again. We British are diminished by her passing, and the world is surely diminished too, having lost one of its precious few heads of state worthy of respect. May she rest in peace. As we close, what would it look like for you to accept the King that our Queen accepted? A prayer between you and God. Sorry for your sin. Thank you that when Jesus died, he took the death that you deserve. If you were to do that, your King would forgive you today. That's amazing, isn't it? Your world would change dramatically. At that moment, you would have a secure standing before God. Certainty, absolute certainty about where you would go. That's why we speak about our Queen so confidently in the safety of the King that she serves. Elizabeth today is with Jesus. I will be there too one day. Look at that statement one last time. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.